KPBS Roundtable offers perspectives from those telling San Diego stories. Join us for weekly conversations with reporters and storytellers, adding depth and context to the headlines driving the news in the San Diego region. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in San Diego, it's Jade Hindman. On today's show, we'll get local reaction to news out of Iran and division within the Iranian community. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Tensions are rising after a U.S. Border Patrol officer killed Alex Preddy in Minneapolis this weekend. The latest shooting happened just weeks after the killing of Renee Nicole Good. The violence there has led to multiple protests around San Diego County and to questions over how prepared local leaders are to prevent similar actions here. Joining me to talk more is San Diego County Board Chair Tara Lawson Reamer. Supervisor, welcome to Midday Edition.
Hi, great to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you here. So listen, yesterday you ordered all county and American flags to be flown half staff. Talk to me about that decision.
Well, I'm angry. I'm scared. I'm sad. And I think mourning the lives that have been lost in Minnesota due to immigration enforcement activities and the constitutional crisis that we are now in is the least we can do in San Diego County.
Right. I mean, and it is, but lowering the flags, it really is a symbolic gesture. So what do you hope it will accomplish?
I think, first of all, it is really important to acknowledge that these tragic deaths are not just deaths of two individuals, but they represent the threat that we all face in this country from a lawlessness, a dangerous set of activities by the Trump administration, by ICE, that's making all of us extremely unsafe and threatening our Constitution. I mean, the notion that we have ICE agents who have now killed two U.S. citizens who were exercising their constitutional right to protest, it's terrifying, it's unconscionable, and it is something that we need to make sure that we don't normalize.
And I'll go back to what you said just moments ago, and that is that this is a constitutional crisis. And those are strong words. How are you sort of prepared to combat that in your leadership role here in the county?
Yeah, we're really trying to do everything we can within the powers that we have. We actually just hired a new county counsel who comes from the U.S. Attorney's Office. The California State Attorney's Office, so that we can be better prepared to initiate the kind of litigation that Minnesota has initiated to potentially block ICE activities if and they come to San Diego and they are unlawful. I continue to believe that the law is our best defense, and being prepared to seek a legal injunction, as the leadership, as the governor and the mayor of Minnesota have done, is going to be a very important tool. I've also directed our public health officer to notify Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the Otay Mesa Detention Facility that we are intending to conduct a public health and safety investigation of that facility. Mm-hmm. This is a power that we have under the California Health and Safety Code. And so we're looking to do that investigation. And we've also recently passed an ordinance that's made it very clear that ICE is not permitted in most county facilities, particularly those that are not available for public access, requiring that these individuals not be masked. So we are looking at every power that we have here in San Diego County to keep people safe.
Lots of things happening there. San Diego has not yet seen such a large-scale immigration blitz as we're seeing in Minneapolis right now. So how prepared are local officials for that possibility? I mean, you mentioned the possibility of lawsuits. What else can the county do to keep residents safe in the event of an immigration blitz?
I think another thing that we definitely focused on, we have to keep focusing on, is to request that our own law enforcement focus on protecting the health and safety of residents and not sharing sensitive information with ICE. We have already passed that policy at the county. The city of San Diego has passed a similar policy. Other cities across the county have passed similar policies. So ensuring that we're not making that information available to ICE that would, allow them to target people, and instead really focusing on keeping citizens safe is something that we have requested of law enforcement. And, to be honest, some cities in our region are not on board with that that approach, but the vast majority are, and we are working really closely with partners in other cities across our region to really focus on safety and to say to say we will not be sharing information with ICE. But there's more work to be done on that front. Absolutely, it's come to light that there's potentially some information sharing or on data sharing happening at Sandag. We need to stop that. And so there's still some holes that we need to plug as well. But I think we have to also just be realistic. You know, I think the people of Minnesota and the mayor and the governor mm-hmm. have done a lot to fight back and to protect the safety of Minnesotans. But yet ICE has still managed to invade that city and impede the investigation and refuse to allow an investigation to move forward regarding these two killings. Sure. So I think we have to be realistic to say we can do as much as we can locally. But at the end of the day, we really do need to be demanding and focusing our attention on changes at the federal level, because this is, as I said, a constitutional crisis.
Mm-hmm. So when local agencies don't honor county policy, what happens?
We have different tools in the toolbox. The first thing's obviously legal. And again, I'm very excited about our new county council joining our team, because he brings a lot of experience in trying to ensure that, local jurisdictions do follow policies that are set by voters and set by elected officials. So that's the first tool in the toolbox, is to, look at our own legal enforcement mechanisms.
Which is what?
So basically that is litigation. You go to the courts and you ask the courts to issue a court order. That's always the first stop.
Okay. Because you mentioned Sandag earlier, and recently KPBS's Gustavo Solis reported on how a database run by the San Diego Association of Governments, better known as Sandag, may have been sharing data from local law enforcement with federal agencies, including, Customs and Border Protection. So how is the county working to address that? And I'll start with that, because then, we also then move on to Sheriff Martinez. So start me off with Sandag.
Yes, thank you. I mean, it's something I am deeply concerned. I have the same information that I think all of your listeners have regarding these reports of data sharing. We are currently trying to get to the bottom of this. We're getting conflicting information. I do want to credit the leadership of my colleague, Supervisor Paloma Aguirre, who represents the county on Sandag, for her work on this and representing the county's position that is unacceptable and illegal. So I don't think I have any, I think I don't have personally have a more of an update for you right now, but we've made our position very clear. And I know Supervisor Aguirre is working very hard to get to the bottom of whether that's true and not true and what's true, and just make sure it doesn't happen anymore.
Okay. And so now the sheriff, because recent reporting from iNews source confirmed that the sheriff is in fact disregarding the county's restrictions on ICE assistance. The county policy requires a judicial warrant to be present before an inmate with a serious criminal background can be transferred into ICE custody. So how might the county enforce this policy? I mean, what policies are the county considering in the wake of these, you know, latest violence in Minneapolis?
I think the latest violence in Minneapolis just reinforces the lawlessness of ICE and how incredibly poorly trained and dangerous these ICE agents are in our community. And it's really unfortunate because we know that the role of law enforcement should be to keep us safe. And ICE is now actually making us all feel incredibly unsafe and under threat. I think it absolutely reinforces the core principle that, you know, we cannot be just handing people over to ICE without a judicial warrant. I think that's the right, that's right. And unfortunately, ICE's actions in the last few months has made that abundantly clear. So, you know, I would say that to the extent that we are able to begin to try to get on the same page here in San Diego on that policy, I think that would be a step in the right direction. We're not there right now. The board has made our position quite clear that you need to have a judicial warrant before handing someone over to ICE. So there's absolutely work to be done on that front. And it, you know, I think for me, this really uplifts you know, something I've really been thinking a lot about is the fact that this is all happening in plain sight. You know, people with mobile phones, you know, American citizens walking down the street are filming or photographing, are able to witness the brutality and the lawlessness and the unconstitutional overreach of ICE in our streets and across the state of Minnesota. You know, what is happening behind closed doors and out of sight in these detention centers where there are no cameras and there is no monitoring, and they, you know, continue to refuse to allow the congressional delegation to exercise its rights of oversight. So it is very, very, very scary, and makes me also really focused on, you know, the fact that we need to do everything we can as a county to exercise our California constitutionally mandated powers to ensure health and safety in our jurisdiction and inspect the Otay Mesa facility.
Right. And tell me more about that facility and your concerns about conditions there. It's owned by CoreCivic, right?
It's owned by CoreCivic. Mm-hmm. And a couple weeks ago, we had reports of deaths. I think it was three deaths in a detention facility in Texas. We know that historically there's been consistent reports of pregnant women being denied access to medical care in the Otay Mesa detention facility. So I'm very concerned, particularly given the huge influx of new inmates and all the individuals that have been swept up in ICE activities, how the Otay Mesa facility is handling this massive increase in individuals that are now incarcerated, and you know, how are they going to be able to handle that? So we have, as I said, directed our public health officer to notify ICE that we will be conducting an inspection. We will be the first county in the state of California to exercise this legal authority. So we definitely imagine a pushback from ICE and a refusal from the federal government and the federal administration. But this is our job, is to ensure health and safety, just like we inspect restaurants, you know, those A through F ratings that you get. You know, we inspect grocery stores to make sure the weights and measures are working. That's what the county does. So we are going to be working very hard to get into that Otay Mesa facility.
Hmm. Well, listen, before we go, you know, recently it was a little more than a handful, six protesters were arrested in San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria's office on Friday. We've seen multiple protests, though, happening in our county. More are planned. What do you have to say to those who are protesting?
I think that the moment is now for us all to raise our voices. For, you know, nearly 6 months now, I've been working on organizing a weekly protest at the federal building every Thursday. So that's something I've been working on and sponsoring along with dozens of other organizations across San Diego to give people a place to gather. We're there every Thursday from about 10 to noon or so. So this is the moment. And I think, you know, people should be in the streets. You should get trained. You should learn how to use your camera and learn how to be a witness, because we would not know what has happened in Minnesota. We would not all be angry and sad and outraged and terrified and know that we are in the midst of a genuine constitutional crisis if it was not for the brave, brave people who are putting their bodies on the line and showing up with cameras to film. And so that we have a witness. We have millions of witnesses.
I've been speaking with San Diego County Board of Supervisors Chair Tara Lawson-Reamer. Supervisor Lawson-Reamer, thank you so very much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS has partnered with StoryCorps for the One Small Step program. We invite you to sign up to have a conversation with a person that may have different views so you may talk, not about politics, but to understand each other better. Sign up at kpbs.org/onesmallstep.